analyzing the environment as we prepare our annual performance plan, we had to take into account other objectives of the government and as well as internationally, specifically the Sustainable Development Goals, which these Sustainable Development Objectives of the government as informed by the United Nations include eradicate poverty as a global challenge. And with this frame, within this framework, there are 17 goals of these Sustainable Development Goals. Goal 16 of these Sustainable Development Goals talks to the promotion of peaceful and inclusive society for sustainable development, to provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. In this regard, the Department of Defense will support Goal 16 and will continue to engage with Statistics SA in the development and clarification of relevant performance indicators. Other aspects that we look into as part of the situational analysis are the legal aspects of our operations. The Department of Defense will continue then this financial year in its annual performance plan to execute its border safeguarding function by addressing security threats and vulnerabilities. The cross-border movement of people, of goods, services, and hostile elements that threaten the territorial integrity of the state and well-being of its people needs to be managed by the Department of Defense. And also, possible requirement for the conducting of offensive operations within applicable international legal framework may become a requirement of government, requiring the South African National Defense Force to ensure deployed members are conversant with the international law regulations and the use of force in their operations regarding the protection of the borders. And also, in this regard, the Department of Defense will continue to improve the relations between the Department of Defense legal services, the state attorneys, and the departmental services and divisions to ensure the timeless compliance with various court decisions. When we do the analysis for the climate change to see how that will impact on our annual performance plan, we note that global climate change and changing weather patterns may increase regional flooding and drought, requiring government and South African National Defense Force to provide increasing humanitarian assistance and disaster relief during general military assistance program operations, both domestically and in the SADC region, as well as in a supporting role alongside government and non-governmental organizations, especially when it comes to the disaster management operations in local governments. The situational analysis in terms of technology affects our plans for this year as we would, as regarding the information warfare, what is usually referred to as a cyber warfare. There are possible cyber attacks against South Africa that might require the Department of Defense to implement robust network security architecture that may include, in terms of the offensive component, continued development of the cyber warfare strategy within limited resources that's available to us for submission during this financial year of 2018 to the JCPS, the Security Cluster of Ministers, for approval and partial implementation. On the defensive component, the department information requires protection through the establishment of the Department of Defense Cybersecurity Incident Response Team to prevent or to recover from an information warfare incident through the establishment of a Cyber Warfare Command Center headquarters. The implementation of the Cyber Warfare Plan remains challenged amidst resource constraints that we have, and adversely impacting on the establishment of the Cyber Command Center as the National Medium-Term Strategic Framework Outcome Number 3 imperative. Still, on the situational analysis in reference to technology, the Department of Defense remains committed to the establishment of the Department of Defense Strategic Research Capability as part of its technology research and development program that will establish a ready defense technology base located in the Defense Evaluation and Research Institution, the DERIS, which are operated and managed by AMSCO on behalf of the Department of Defense in collaboration with the science, with the Council for Science Industrial Research, as well as various test ranges, which really forms a niche and strategic essential capabilities in, for the development of the South African defense industry. Honorable Chairperson, during this financial year, the Policy Research Unit concept document was approved last year and will inform the development of the required organizational structure during this financial year. When we look at the various social factors that might impact on our annual performance plan for this year, we note that the increased migration across borders, the transnational terrorism and crime syndicates, as well as illicit activities, they contribute to the instability, and this might need to this will require the National South African National Defence Force to plan and to how it mitigates such risk in its border safeguarding operations. Internally, there is possible increase in social and service delivery protests during the build-up to the 2019 national elections, and this requires us in our planning for this financial year to find ways and means of how we might respond if requested for the South African National Defence Force and SAPS to ensure domestic peace and security and the holding of elections in a stable environment. Also still dealing with the social factors, the health service delivery due to high frequencies. There is now, we have noted the high frequency of South African National Defence Force deployments that may adversely impact on the rendering of required healthcare services within an increasing patient population. As members would be aware, recently the South African National Defence Force Military Health Services had to be deployed to the province of Northwest because of collapse and dysfunction of the department of the provincial Department of Health in that regard, in order to protect the people and try to save lives and limbs. The National Health Insurance requires South African National Defence Force to update its minimal healthcare standards so that our healthcare facilities and services are aligned to the rollout of the National Health Insurance. Regarding the employment of the youth, the Department of Defence, in collaboration with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, will train this year approximately 2,000 members through the departmental capabilities on a cost recovery basis, meaning that we enter into agreements with such departments as Rural Development and Land Reform so that we can recover our cost of assisting them in training the youth, especially in lifestyle management, discipline, patriotism, while they bring in the content of rural community workers and development programs. Regarding the internship programs, this is, we don't talk about this, but the Department of Defense is one of leading departments in accommodating interns who are in various fields of development, whether it is in health services, legal services, engineering services, auditing, management, and other services. And in this regard, within our annual performance plan, the Department of Defense will pursue the implementation of the promulgated Department of Defense internship policy during this financial year, with an estimated internship intake of approximately 200 interns. When we do analysis, militarily speaking, in the region, we highlight that global and African tensions and conflict remain a possibility, including hybrid threats, cyber threats, terror threats, where deployed South African National Defence Force members are in support of international peace support operations, and members may face armed groupings using heavy conventional weapons in such operations. When we do situational analysis internally, now within the department itself, the plans will highlight the development and approval of the Department of Defense ethic policy and strategy, as well as the audit committee that will review the effectiveness of the internal Department of Defense control system, internal audit functions, and Department of Defense risk areas to be covered in the scope of internal and external audits. The capacitating of the internal audit division will remain this year a departmental area of attention. Regarding the governance of risks within the department governance of risk fora that includes the DoD Strategic Risk Management Committee, the Accountability Management Committee, and the Audit Committee, where the strategic risk management members receive annual training and undergo regular risk assessment. And these corporate forums will continue to meet regularly to manage the risks that is facing our department. When it comes to governance of information technology, the Department of Defense will be strengthened with the Department of Defense IT policy, strategy, and plans, with the institutionalizing the public service governance framework, including the securing and development of IT platforms commensurate with the departmental military specific requirements. Continuing within our situational analysis within the Department of Defense itself, with regards to compliance management, the department structures addressing human resources, financial and procurement, governance, risk, and compliance will be strengthened through appropriate capacitating and ensuring of compliance with prevailing legislative norms and standards in the respective functional areas. Regarding financial management, the department will continue to deal with the various risks, especially associated with the absence of an integrated financial management system, FMS, and facing the risk of outdated FMS support remain a departmental risk hampering support to the national imperative, especially when we think about the payment of legitimate invoices within 30 days through the invoice tracking system. This system not fully functional because of outdated financial management system within the department. When it comes to dealing with the corruption and fraud within the department corruption and fraud nodal point continue to be the Inspector General and the Inspector General's office, and the implementation of the DoD management of anti-criminality policy, and the matters of corruption and fraud will continue to be managed through awareness training, reporting of incidents through the whistleblowing mechanism, and various other departmental channels. This, as part of our annual performance plan, we also do look into various court decisions that are affecting the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense will continue to improve the effectiveness of interface between the state attorney and the Department of Defense to ensure timely compliance with the court decision. I think I need to emphasize that, because sometimes we are accused of not ensuring timely compliance, but from where we are sitting, it is part of our annual performance plan that we must ensure that the department continue to comply timeously with the various court decisions. Also, looking internally regarding the stakeholder relations management, the Department of Defense will endeavor to achieve the appropriate balance between its various stakeholders in the best interest of the Department of Defense as well as the national state. Through the South African Defense Review 2015, the country has initiated an intervention to promote consensus on defense. This document, the South African Defense Review 2015, that was deliberated upon by this portfolio committee, has become a very useful source of consultations with various stakeholders where we are trying to develop a national consensus to promote those directives coming from the department from the Defense Review 2015. But looking at other legislations then for this coming financial year, we would like to inform the members of the Portfolio Committee that we have about three bills that we will be looking into over the next coming financial year. The first one will be the Military Discipline Bill, and this Military Discipline Bill has been prepared to be submitted to a cabinet for approval. Once processed by cabinet, we hope it will come to this committee to be processed through Parliament. The Defense Amendment Bill has already been processed by cabinet, and we are aware that currently this portfolio committee of honorable members is busy processing that Defense Amendment Bill, and hopefully this process will be concluded within this coming financial year as part of our annual performance plan. The Hydrographic Bill, the information that's on the slide might be a little bit updated. We can update it by stating that the Cabinet has now approved the Hydrographic Bill. It is on its way through the necessary structures of state attorneys to this portfolio committee and Parliament, and to be processed by this committee and the Cabinet. To look now, honorable members, to the main policy document as part of our strategic overview for this financial year, I will not go into details to the 2015 Defense Review that has been presented to this committee and discussed within this committee with its milestone, especially for the first 5 years, which is the plan to arrest the decline of the capabilities of the South African National Defense Force. We have developed 5 work packages for the implementation of this 2015 Defense Review that is aligned to the funding trajectory, and we have costed this Defense Review, and we have consulted with the National Treasury, where the National Treasury Department of Defense Budget Task Team was established, and which reports to the Ministerial Technical Evaluation Committee, that is MTEC, on the funding of this Defense Review through the processes of the Mandate Paper Budget 2018. The Mandate Paper of the Cabinet, MTEC, talks to the requirements of the 2015 Defense Review for funding. Unfortunately, the task team of the Department of Defense and National Treasury has now concluded its work, but unfortunately the report that has come out now, that has been officially communicated to the Department of Defense by the National Treasury, I think is highlighted in our slide there, where the National Treasury stated that while all attempts have been made to fund the critical elements of the South Africa Defense Review 2015, the constrained fiscal outlook has made it difficult to fund the review from the fiscus over the 2018 MTEF. I think that's the message now that is final from our interaction with the National Treasury that the constrained fiscal outlook has made it difficult to fund the review from the fiscus over the next 2018 MTSF. This means that from the National Treasury standpoint, the defense review cannot be funded within this 2018 MTSF. What they have agreed, though, is that the UN reimbursement revenue from the peacekeeping operations of the South African National Defense Force can be ring-fenced to fund the once-off payment of official items of the Defense Review 2015 to be dealt with during the adjusted estimates of national expenditure. So we would then expect that in October this year, during the adjusted estimates of national expenditure, the National Treasury will give us their concurrence to utilize that UN reinvestment for various aspects of the defense review. But it's not much, really. I think a year it amounts to about 300 million. Continuing then on the defense review, we are noting that the 2018 MTF reduced budget allocation necessitate a reappreciation of a plan to reconfigure the department to align with the resources that are made available to it and the resource implementation of the national defense policy. As I've indicated, we have done some costing for the various work packages. For non-cost effective drivers, this is what we intend to implement, especially with the HR rejuvenation plan for the defense intelligence and communications interventions of about 23 million, and then for repairs and maintenance of main equipment and support system, we required about 9.8 billion, and for the upgrade of prime mission equipment for ordered commitments, the requirement was estimated for 18-19 at 8 billion, as well as for the other work package, that is maintenance of comprehensive defense capabilities at 35. This is what would have been required if in order to implement the defense review. But as National Treasury has indicated, the fiscus will not allow us, so those will remain unfunded intentions, as it were. Now, honorable members, I'll go ahead to look at the performance delivery environment. In doing so, we look at various government, we start by looking at various government imperatives. Those government imperatives that we look into include the National Development Plan 2030, the medium-term strategic framework, which is now running to be concluded next year. We look at the mandate paper that I had talked about of the Cabinet MTEC committee, as well as the budget for the medium-term expenditure framework. When you look at the National Development Plan, we do have 14 objectives of the National Development Plan that we're highlighting for the members, but the ones that affect us that we, in our annual performance plan we had to look into are mainly objective number 3 of all people in South Africa are and feel safe, as well as objective number 11 that create a better South Africa for a better. Well, these are the objectives of the medium-term strategic framework that affect us directly, although we contribute to the other MTSF objectives such as a long and healthy life for all South Africans and a skilled and capable workforce, objective number 5 and objective number 7. I made a mistake when I said it's the NTP. These are MTS, MTSF objectives. The NDP objectives are covered in the following slides, where it talks to the various chapters like the economy, the environment, the integration of South Africa in the region, and in number of them, our annual performance plan talked to some of those objectives of the NDP Vision 2030. Now, coming to focus more on the medium-term strategic framework objectives that are affecting the Department of Defense in our annual performance plan, we look at outcome number 3, all people in South Africa are and feel safe. Within this outcome, the sub-outcome 3 is that South Africa's borders are effectively defended, protected, secured, and well managed. In this regard, our annual performance plan for this current financial year is the continued deployment of 15 companies as part of a national security strategy. But our analysis is that we require 22 companies to ensure that South Africa's borders are efficiently and effectively guarded. Without necessary resources, we can only deploy 15 companies. We also engage in various maritime patrols and that cover not just the South African coastal waters, but go up to the Mozambique Channel, and we plan to do 4 such patrols through Mozambican channels for this coming financial year. When it comes to sub-outcome number 4, which is secure cyberspace, the Department of Defense had planned for the establishment of a cyber command center headquarters, which is scheduled for this financial year, subject to resource allocations. We are still in the process of trying to reprioritize the allocation of resource to ensure that at least we can initiate the establishment of this cyber command center at our headquarters. And the Department of Defense will continue to contribute to the development of the national cyber security. The sub-outcome number 7 of our MTSF talks to the corruption in the public and private sector that needs to be reduced. And with this regard, our annual performance plan focuses on the reducing the levels of DOD, of corruption in the DOD where it is prevalent. The DOD, through its consolidated corruption and fraud register and the implementation of the approved DOD management anti-criminality policy, will continue to manage aspects relating to identified incidents of corruption and fraud that will include awareness training, the structured reporting of incidents through the departmental whistleblowing mechanism and other established departmental structures. We would like to inform the members that we meet regularly or every quarter to look at the registry of the corruption and fraud within the department, to look at the investigations, to look at the results of those investigations, and to ensure that consequence management is being implemented within the Department of Defense to fight corruption and fraud. Another outcome that is affecting the Department of Defense that is highlighted in our annual performance plan is that one of MTSF outcome number 11 regarding creating a better South Africa and contributing to a better and a safer Africa in a better world. Sub-outcome number 3 refers to ensuring political cohesion in Southern Africa to ensure a peaceful, secure, and stable Southern African region. And in this regard, the Department of Defense will continue to contribute to conflict prevention, peacekeeping, peace, security, and post-conflict reconstruction and development as ordered by the government. We will also, as South African National Defense Force, contribute towards the African Union as well as the United Nations peacekeeping operations. Regarding other government imperatives of a 9-point plan for growing the economy, to increase the economic growth and to create much-needed job opportunities in the Republic of South Africa. The Department of Defense continue in our annual performance plan will continue to participate in Operation Pakisa, the growing of South Africa's ocean economy. And in this regard, we will be guided by the SADC Maritime Security Strategy, where the Navy participates together with our SADC countries on the, that have coastal borders such as Angola, Namibia, Mozambique, and Tanzania. Also, with the project Kobatlala, this is a project of collaboration with other departments and provincial governments to enable the development of vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural communities' contribution towards food security in the Republic of South Africa. Here, the South African Army, especially the Reserve Force of the South African Army, works with local farmers in various rural areas to develop farm produce that can actually supply the various footprint of the South African Defense Force military facilities in these areas. When you look at the African Union agenda that is highlighted within our annual performance plan, we have looked at the imperative of the intention of that agenda 2063, which is to ensure that an integrated, prosperous, and peaceful Africa, driven by its own citizens and representing a dynamic force in the international agenda, is established. In this regard, the AU Agenda 2063 is a strategic framework for the socio-economic transformation of the African continent over the next 50 years, accelerating the implementation of Continental Initiative for Growth and Sustainable Development. Through its contribution to the United Nations and AU, peacekeeping efforts will support this chapter of the Agenda 2063, that is a peace for a peaceful and secure Africa. The DOD will, within available resources, considerations, provide mission-ready defense capabilities as directed by government and or commander-in-chief in accordance with governmental policies and strategies as we have just outlined in our MTSF outcome number 11. Regarding the Southern Africa Development Community Regional Indicative Strategic Development, which outlines milestones for which political defense and security cooperation forms a vital part to ensure stability in SADC region that is needed for socio-economic development, the formulated March 2001 and approved by SADC Summit in August 23, the South African National Defense Force will contribute in its annual performance plan by ensuring that there is effective conduct of ordered commitments by government and the commander-in-chief in peace support operations, through our defense diplomacy initiatives, that is the deployment of defense attaches, through compliance with current ordered external operations, and through undertaking of training exercises with other SADC defense forces and ensuring compliance with the SADC standby force pledges. Also, the other government imperative plans that are covered in our annual performance plan regard what we refer to as a Foresight Action Plan deliverables. This is to ensure that within the Department of Defense, we implement our Service Delivery Improvement Plan. This Service Delivery Improvement Plan within the Department of Defense involves reduction in the time it takes to fill vacancies, payment of suppliers within 30 days, finalization of disciplinary cases, improved feedback to the public on anti-corruption hotline, reduction in negative audit findings, timely submission of DOD accountability documents, and timely responses to Chapter 9, 10 institutions such as Public Protector, South African Human Rights Commission, and the Gender and Equality Commission, as well as the Office of the Public Service Commission. Within this service delivery plan, our annual performance plan addresses also the elements of what action is to be taken to implement these deliverables of the Service Delivery Improvement Plan. Now, looking at the mandate paper that we talked about of the cabinet, the mandate paper refers to the priority of integrated plan to fight crime. This is one of the elements that where the South African National Defence Force will be contributing towards the implementation of that mandate paper. We will be, as indicated, contribute towards the integrated plan to fight crime by deploying the border safeguarding units, the 15 units, the 15 companies that we have talked about. Now, honorable members, I would like to look at the various priorities of the three main offices of the Department of Defense, that is the Office of the Minister, the offices of the Secretary for Defense, and the Office of the Chief of the South African National Defense Force. These priorities are as follows. For the Minister of Defense, the first priority is defense strategic direction, that is providing of ministerial strategic direction to the Department of Defense, defense review implementation, accountability documents, direct defense, international engagement, and defense strategies. The next priority is that of strategic resourcing direction, that is the Minister of Defense Office directing the development of a defense funding model to ensure adequate resourcing of the defense function and the development of the DoD costing tool. The next priority is that of organizational renewal directive. Here, the Minister of Defense will be directing in this annual performance plan for the renewal of the defense organization to achieve greater efficiencies and effectiveness, the Department of Defense restructuring plan, as well as the cost establishment tables. The next priority is that one of human resource renewal direction. Here, the Minister of Defense is directing in our annual performance plan for the renewal of the Department of Defense a human resource function to ensure a personnel profile able to meet both current and future defense obligations. The next priority is that of capability sustainment. Here, the Minister of Defense will be directing for the defense industry technology development and directing defense acquisition, defense works formation optimization, cyber warfare, and defense industry as a whole. The final priority is that one of ordered defense commitment, where the Minister of Defense, through the plan, is directing for the sustaining of ordered defense commitment by the government. The focus areas for the Office of the Secretary for Defense will be 1, defense strategic direction, 2, strategic resourcing direction, 3, human resource renewal, 4, organizational renewal, 5, capability sustainment and renewal, and 6, ordered defense commitment. And for the Chief of the South African National Defense Force, the priority will be military strategic direction, restructuring of the South African National Defense Force, renovation of the Department of Defense facilities, development and maintenance of strategic reserves, implementation of the human resource strategy, enforcement of military discipline, development of South African National Defense Force capabilities, force protection, border safeguarding, revitalization and effective utilization of reserves, as well as the renewal of the landward defense capabilities. The next aspect of our presentation deals with the structure. What structure exists in the Department of Defense to implement these strategic policies that we have just talked about? This is highlighted in the slides that is shown. I think I will not go through it, but it's a structure that members are very familiar with, which forms part, which will remain for this financial year annual performance plan, or this is a structure, shall I say, that is expected to implement the annual performance plan that we are presenting here this morning. At this point in time, Honorable Chairperson, I'm now moving over to the allocation of budget for these plans that we have been talking about. When we look at the budget allocation over the MTSF 2018 medium-term strategic framework, we then look at 2018, 2019, 2020. What is striking at the reduction that have come out since the 2016 MTSF. I think members would then recall that 2016 we were here to present the MTSF budget, that is the allocation over the next 3 years. And now, 3 years later, or 2 years later, we are here to present that whatever we presented at that time and whatever plans that we had over the next 3 years are now being affected by the reductions that have been imposed on the budget of the Department of Defense since that MTSF budget was adopted. Next Friday, the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans will be presenting her budget vote speech, and she will be elaborating on the impact of these reductions. For this current financial year, our budget is being reduced by 2.6 billion rand. For the next financial year, 2019-2020, 3.2 billion, and for the 2020-2021, by another 3.5 billion. All in all, over the next MTSF, the Department of Defense budget is reduced by more than nine to ten billion rands. And this reduction is occurring in the special defense account, which is being reduced for this financial year by 1.7 billion, as well as the general defense account, that is for the operating, which is being reduced by almost a billion rand, as reflected on the slide. When we look by this on this allocation, with looking taking into account in particular the compensation of employees for this current financial year, the cabinet approved a ceiling of about 27 billion rand. The personnel strength as of 31st of March 2018 in the Department of Defense was 75,555. With the budget that is allocated for this financial year, we can only afford 69,536. So this means that we will not be able to afford 5,964, almost 6,000 employees are, or shall we say, if we were to work with the provided budget, we will have to retrench almost 6,000 employees, meaning that the shortfall of our budget for this, of the cost of employees, now I'm talking specifically for the cost of employees, the projected shortfall is about 3.2 billion rand for this financial, for this annual performance plan that we are presenting. When you go follow to the other programs, I will not go into details, but as part of our annual performance plan, we went ahead to say that the overall Department of Defense programs are divided into eight. There's administration, there's forced employment, which is the deployment of our forces, there's landward defense, which is mostly the army services, the air defense, which is by Air Force, maritime defense, which is by Navy, South African military health support, which is by South African Military Health Services, defense intelligence, as well as general support, such as logistics. The next slide, we show the members the breakdown of that allocated budget in terms of how much is allocated to each of these eight programs that I've talked about, how much was allocated in 17-18, and how much is allocated in 18-19. In the next slide, we zoom in into the details now of allocation of budget program by program on those eight programs. And as members can see, each and every program has been reduced since the MTSF was announced for this current financial year. It shows the members have now the opportunity to look at program by program which one has had a major cut. As expected, it will be maybe the landward, the army, because it is one of the biggest programs, but also the expensive equipment that we have from the air defense, meaning that and the Navy, they take one of the biggest, some of the biggest cuts. And as well as the military health services, whereby it really puts a high risk for the South African National Defense Force to continue rather the quality healthcare service that is it is expected to render with such a budget cut. And of course, the programs such as administration and general support being also reduced. All of this for this financial year to the total reduction of 2.6 billion rand. We then also put in, as part of our budget allocation discussions, some trends in terms of the expenditure. Looking at analyzing now category by category, when you look at the compensation of employees, because the total budget has been reduced, we now project that for this coming financial year and the annual performance plan that we're presenting, 57.1% will be spent on the compensation of employees. We are no longer able to meet that defense review objective of saying at least we should expect the cost of employees to be around 40%. It has, for this coming financial year, it's jumping to 57.1%. And when you look at other programs, for instance, the Army, that amounts to close to 80% of the budget going to the Army being allocated to the cost of employees. We then highlight to the for the members in our plans the how much is allocated is going to goods and services, that 39 billion rand, which will form about 27% of the budget. And for sustaining South Africa's defense capabilities, which is very, very critical, that is 18.2 billion is over the next MTF for the sustainment of South Africa's this is over the MTAF, in other words, over the next 3 years. And for the safeguarding of South Africa's borders and territorial integrity, which is one of the major key focus areas of the South African National Defense Force. As we have indicated, we will be deploying 15 sub-units, and the amount that is allocated for that is about 3.1 billion rand.
We're going to Chairperson, just sort of an interruption. I just want to make sure before you go on, this that you're giving us now, is that in terms of the old plan for 2018-19, or is it this reduced budget amount? I just want to that we are on the same page, because then we know going forward which of the two is reflected here.
It reflects the reduced amount over the next 3 years. It's over a 3 year period, MTSF. We continue to look at various programs along those lines for the members, just drawing their attention in terms of the expenditure trends over the next 3 years with this budget, how we have allocated the budget that was given to us, even in terms of the maritime security strategy of 1.5 billion, as well as what we are allocating to peace support operations over the next 3 years, which is 3.3 billion for the forced employment in peacekeeping operations, and for the internal operations preparations, we had to try and budget for the 2019 national elections by putting an additional allocation of 67 million just for this financial year, but for various internal operations over the next 3 years, we have projected a 48.8 million for that forced employment. Continuing with the other allocation, the cost drivers, looking at the trends, expanding and maintaining infrastructure, an amount of 1.6 billion allocated for the infrastructure projects over the medium term, mainly in the general support program. This is for refurbishing the military health services training center in Pretoria, constructing a base hospital, hopefully in Port Elizabeth, which is expected to be completed outside this MTSF period, and upgrading and refurbishing of two mill, refurbishing of the six South African Infantry Battalion in Grahamstown, and so forth, refurbishment of various military facilities across the country. When you look at the Program 9 here, the Defense Works Formation, we have allocated an amount of 2.4 billion over the medium term in general support program to carry out those activities of the Defense Works Formation that include construction of houses at the Military Academy in Saldanha and the construction of single quarters at the Lord's Ground military base in Durban. The next slides will be talking to the implication of this budget reductions. It really talks to the shortfall. If so, when you look at our presentation of the budget reduction implications, we are mainly here highlighting what the planners had planned for this financial year 18-19, and then what shortfall did they come across. And we try to highlight the implications because of that shortfall that they have identified in the budget reduction. Like in the administration, the impact will be mainly in the availability of human resources, especially ICT support to enable effective departmental services. In the forced employment, this budget reduction will have the impact of limited provision of special operational capabilities to meet the National Defense Review of 2015 and meeting all that government obligations and requirements, both in terms of internal and external deployments. For the Army, this budget reduction will have the impact of constrained ability to provide trained forces to renew and maintain combat operational capabilities within the Army. For the Air Force, the implication will be that of constrained current maintenance backlog, the maintenance of capabilities, and aviation safety. For the maritime, the impact will be that of constrained ability to maintain maritime capabilities and deployment of naval capabilities to meet the deployment requirements. And for the South African military health support, it will be that of constrained ability to staff medical personnel, continued inadequate structures, obsolete equipment, deterioration of facilities, and lack of technology requirements. I think we highlight that also in terms of our defense intelligence, the general support, logistics, CMIS, military police. We try to draw to the attention of the members the implication of such budget cuts. We now look also on the implication now on the corporate, on the DoD corporate level, that what will also have this reduction on the corporate level will have that impact, that the current ability of the department to meet constitutional mandate and support national imperatives has become constrained due to these reductions. And this will affect the national security strategy, the cyber warfare capabilities, and also this will have an adverse impact on the ability to maintain the current Department of Defense legacy systems, which are really now expensive to maintain, whilst not being able to modernize the defense force to meet the current and future security requirements of the Republic. The reductions in the special defense funds will result in South Africa surrendering some of its own local defense industry capabilities to foreign ownership. In other words, the special defense account was very critical for the support to the South African defense industry. Now, with this budget reduction, they will have a major impact, resulting in South Africa not having its own defense-related industry for weapon modernization and ammunition manufacturing and the required level of industry expertise, that once it is lost, it will be very difficult to reestablish. Also, it will have the impact on the ability to provide trained forces to renew and maintain combat operational capabilities to ensure aviation safety during deployments and to mitigate the ongoing deterioration of facilities as well as the renewal of technology and departmental information systems. Budget reductions will result in non-achievement of the required critical mass in terms of South African National Defense Force stock levels of ammunition, spares, general commodities, pharmaceuticals, medical consumables, and might also cause the South African Military Health Services to continue its outsourcing, which comes at a very high cost. This will also have negative impact on the maintenance backlog of South African National Defense prime mission equipment, resulting in the possible mothballing of certain prime mission equipment, impacting on the South African National Defense Force mission readiness. The Military Health Support Program funding remains inadequate, compounded by the current medical inflation. The medical inflation is usually in excess of 11% due to the foreign exchange and the imports of such medical equipment and pharmaceuticals. We continue to highlight the various adverse impact on the that is caused by this budget reduction. When it comes to the cost compensation of employee this reduction will lead to reduction in the available personnel for forced employment, compromised HR rejuvenation, non-availability of support to operations personnel as current defense commitments have not been reduced, and it will also lead into possible two-year MSDS reduction. It will result in the aging force, inability to establish adequate organizational structures and staffing, and another impact on the compensation of employees reduction will be that of increased knowledge and skills gap developing within the South African National Defence Force. The budget reduction constraints, Honourable Chairperson, will limit the implementation of the national policy on defence, that is the South African Defence Review, requiring a possible amendment of the original cabinet decision in terms of the trajectory that was decided at that point in time, because it is now unfunded. We did some costing of what it would have taken to meet the defense review. I think this we have presented before. We are just highlighting here that the shortfall to implement the defense review is highlighted in that slide, slide number 48. I will not go into detail again. So that would conclude that part of our presentation of our annual performance plan in terms of the budget allocation. The last component of our presentation of the annual performance plan deals with selected performance indicators. Here, this is just to highlight certain performance indicators that we have selected, where we indicate the performance indicator and the target that we would like to reach, that is quoted in our annual performance plan for the financial year 2018-2019. When it comes to the total number of defense attaches that we would have liked to deploy this financial year is 44. When it comes to the number of military skills development members that we would like to recruit this year, is the target that we have is 3,568, and the target for number of reserve force men days is 2,674,761. For the percentage of compliance with the Southern African Development Community Standby, we would like to comply with all our commitments to SADC Standby Force. And for the compliance with the number of ordered commitments, external operations, we would like to comply with all the compliance, I mean, with all the ordered commitments for external operations. When it comes to the commitment to compliance with the number of ordered commitments in the internal operations, even then we would like to comply with all of those internal operations compliance. When it comes to that indicator of the number of joint interdepartmental interagency and multinational multi-military exercises, these are joint military exercises. Last year we had three, and this year we would like to have four. For the number of companies that are deployed on our border safeguarding, last year we had 15, and this year we'll also like to keep that number of 15. For the Air Force, for the number of hours flown, we would like to keep about 25,000 number of hours flown for them. The target for this year. In the previous year, we didn't have the target. For the number of hours at sea, last year we had target of 12,000, and we would like to keep that number of hours at sea for this financial year at the same 12,000. Those were just some of the key indicators, especially regarding to force preparation. The last part of our presentation, we referred to that the members this afternoon will be taking the annual performance plan of AMSCO, and we have allocated AMSCO the transfer amount of 1.4 billion. And they will also take, I'm sure the members have, I don't know whether they've taken or will be taking the annual performance of another entity reporting to the Ministry of Defense, the Castel Control Board, which in terms of budgeting, it is self-sustaining. We also then provided for the review of the members, various consultants that will be utilized by the Department of Defense. There are consultants that we utilize from the Department of Public Service Administration, the SACA, to verify the qualifications. We also have the Department of Public Service Administration that have identified the consultants that needs to be used in terms of the health risk management and assessment of the PSAP, that is those incapacity that need to be boarded because of medical conditions. We have also the consultants that we use for the accreditation of our HR training programs. We have also the consultants that we're using with the British peace support team that trains our officers in peace support mission, as well as consultants that we use for the various bargaining council negotiations. We do use consultants for ensuring that the equipment, some of the equipment that we use, especially on the surveillance equipment, is compliant with the South African Bureau of Standards, as well as when dealing with the members of foreign nationalities, either in training or in conferences or in defense cooperation agreements. We need consultants for the interpretation. We also have consultants that we have used, especially for the defense industry, in terms of evaluating the full life capability management, in terms of acquisition of products and services for the Department of Defense, to ensure that we don't have runaway escalated costs in terms of mission equipment having acquired and then increasing maintenance of such equipment that we have utilized for life capability management. We have also consultants for the assessment of new items such as uniforms by South African Bureau of Standards, as well as the writing up of various logistics policies to ensure that they are compliant with the South African Bureau of Standards utilization of consultants in that regard. And we also, for forced employment, have used planned to use the consultants for planning and strategic in terms of ensuring that our forced employment and forced deployment is done in a manner that is safe and compliant with the conditions where they are deployed. We have We then also look at various risk management. The Department of Defense has enterprise risk management, and we have identified that what are the various risks that we have seen with the implementation of this forthcoming annual performance plan. And these risks, we have categorized them in terms of those that are related to the deteriorating Department of Defense facilities and infrastructure. And we have also looked at the risk associated with outdated and non-integration of information communications technology. I think we have presented, we will be presenting for the rest of the year to the portfolio committee in terms of those risks and how we're mitigating them that are associated with our dated IT systems that we have. We have identified also the risk and, of the prevalence of fraud and corruption. As we have indicated, we have maintained a fraud and corruption register that we can share, that we share with the Auditor General on quarterly basis, and how we are doing in terms of consequence management of that fraud and corruption risk. We have also identified the risk of a high prevalence of litigation against the department, and because of certain inability of some elements within the Department of Defense to comply with applicable legislation, prescribed policy, procedures that may result in costly litigation. This is the risk that we identified, and we are highlighting how we will be managing such risk. I think the promulgation and implementation of the military discipline will be very critical in managing some of the such risk. We have also identified the risk of emergence and prevalence of cyber warfare threats, and we identify how we are going to mitigating that risk. We have identified the risk of forfeited rights on DoD property and how we will be managing that, as well as the risk on compromised defense corporate governance due to protected policy development and capacity constraint, and we have identified how we will be managing such a risk. And that's the end of our presentation, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. What we will do, Honorable Members, we will also put these indicators on our dashboard so that every quarter when you come, you tell us at what speed we are driving now. That is the approach that we are going to use. Honorable Members, any points of clarity, any comments?
Chairperson, thank you. Where do one start? It's quite a bleak picture that the SecDef has given us. And it's a kind of a thing, and I say tongue in the cheek. You remember some time ago, over quite a number of meetings, we can say, I told you so. I still get the impression, and the CFO will remember, where he has mentioned it in one meeting, the only resolution, the only way that we can resolve this, more money. You remember that, CFO? The way that you said that we can correct the HR matter, give us more money. And we've said at that stage, you must realize you are not going to get more money. Now, one can either face the reality and say you must prepare yourself and come up with alternatives and restructuring and reprioritization, like we have said and like the National Treasury said, or you can choose to ignore that. And then you will be one morning, get out of your bed and suddenly say your proverbial pants are on your ankles and say, how the hell did that happen? Now, we have seen this coming on for quite some time. And it was obviously escalating at a much higher rate than what we realized. I remember that SecDef, you have said, I think quite just after the budget, that in real terms you will, at that stage, require to work with 3 billion rand less, if I can recall correctly. Now again, and I will repeat what I've said in the past, what is that index that you have used? Please don't come and tell me it's a basket of food CPI, because we're not working with food, we're working with military equipment. Now, I wonder if you can tell me the effect of a military index, for a lack of a better word,
And you will remember in the past we have speculated, and at least at one of the meetings it was admitted that it is probably close to 15%. Now again, that's one of those things, and you remember at one stage we had this graph where it was showed how it was projected that we will come down and that we had that it was done quite earlier. Remember that? You remember what I've said at that stage? It's because you're working with CPI and you're closing your eyes and you're hoping for tomorrow the sun will come up. And the sun is not coming up. And the index is not a basket of food. So at this stage it's a dire situation. It's probably one of the things that you have not told us, SecDef, is when are you closing the door and what do you do with the keys? Because it's inevitable, like we're going on. You have to close shop and tell us where you're leaving the keys. Because this operation cannot go on like it is. It seems like we are still busy with a shotgun approach and trying to please everyone at all the times while knowing that it is totally impossible. I still don't pick up from this whole report, and I've got pages of notes that I've made, and there's even more inside, all very relevant to the Defense Force. But I see none, with all due respect, of how you're going to make this work. You've given us your problems, but you haven't told us how you're going to make this work within the budget. What are the alternatives? What are the reprioritizations? Because it's obviously tough times, and it asks for tough steps and decisions to be made. I don't see that. You've shown us the problem that you were cutting the budget and there's going to be an overspend. I see on the staff there's still nothing on an exit mechanism, the cost of an exit mechanism, the long-term effect of an exit mechanism. You've stated the problem of aging force, but you've given us no alternatives of how we can correct that, how we can rejuvenate our defense force. We know that the average age at this stage is probably close to 50%. Close to 50 years of age is the average age. Now, anybody in any defense force will tell you, hey, seems like you're either busy establishing an old age home or this is just an old boys club. Because it seems like they are, and we have picked it up in our oversights. And I mean, I'm also grey and probably an old man in many people's view, although I'm not even 60. But what we've picked up is fewer and fewer quality younger people and more, with the greatest respect, not so competent older people. And this is Defense Force. You know what has been said, the average age of our ordinary soldiers, 30 years, and it's going to 32. I mean, is that a defense force with an army with a focus on landward defense? My goodness gracious me. No wonder your military cost is so high, because you're probably more busy with treating them afterwards than they can treat themselves. So, the one thing I would very much like to know, and my view is that you have got a huge challenge, not only you, but us as well, in terms of command and control. We know that the Chief of the Defense is not here. I don't think we have seen the Chief of the Defense at our committees at least for the last 2-3 years. So somehow the Chief of the Defense, General Choky, you never see him. So your authority, sir, over the defense SANDF command chain. You're a civilian secretariat. And it's important to know, because we communicate with you, you know how I've communicated things to you. And my impression is some of these guys is probably showing you the proverbial middle finger and say, so, well, what do you know about the Defense Force we're dealing with? And really, these things we pick up. And I mean, we're not, with all due respect, not stupid. We might not be military people here sitting with the ranks of general and all that, but we're not stupid. We pick these things up. Now, I've said to myself, I've got greatest respect for you, sir, and for your team, working under enormous difficult situations. But I've asked myself, I like this guy, this Dr. Kalubi, I like him. But what's the purpose of communicating with him? He's got no influence. And you know the things that I've communicated with you, that we know that nothing has happened because it was not on your level. Nothing happened. Can I remind you of the Maryvale situation where people were put out of the base? Despite two court orders, nothing has happened. And the Defense Force is using a budget that has been cut to fight ridiculous battles in court. And nothing is happening. We know what happened, what was reported about, and I was one of the people that criticized you for buying a lot of ultra-luxury cars at the end of the previous financial year. And so where was it used? By the driver of the commander of J-Ops in a heist. My goodness gracious. This is a nice place to be. What happened? Slap on the fingers. It's a disgrace. What happened to Major, if I can, excuse me if I pronounce it wrong, Moshala, that has been on social media and blatantly racist on social media, so it's not in a private discussion about how this white farmer's eye should have been taken out when he was attacked. What happened? Nothing. I was the one that eventually reported this to the Human Rights Commission. Because I said to myself, listen, these guys that I've got a passion for will do nothing about this. Quite clearly, you've got a major problem in terms of authority. And my information is, whether you agree with that or not, and the perception is, there are different factions in the Defense Force. And I get the impression it's still along the old, either, with the greatest respect, Chairperson, whether it's in the old Zuma versus Ramaphosa group. And the Defense Force is the one place where discipline must be number one. Discipline must be number one. And I've said the last couple of months to myself, we know what happened at the infantry base in Potchefstroom with the horses, 25 horses that were supposed to be treated like a human. I mean, they probably must have a force number, those horses and the dogs. 25 had to be put out. Another over probably 160 odd was removed, and this was under the command of General Choki, eventually, which is outside your command. What happens? Nothing happens. Now, I've asked myself, is this part of the symptoms of ill-discipline in the Defense Force? We just came back from the DRC, and the MINUSCO and a special representative made a big deal out of the so-called CR cases. I personally think that the CR allegations is probably overstated. And we are probably not more guilty than other countries. And it's probably a result of our own inefficiencies as well. So we carry the guilt, and the Defence Force must carry guilt as well for that. In that they don't provide support to our troops in the DRC. There's no efficient transport for them back home. So now they go out, and the young guys probably doing some of their holiday in the DRC because they can't afford going coming back home with commercial airlines. Testosterone levels are high. They do what other youngsters do, and then they're in trouble. What do we do? It's all a symptom of ill discipline. And ironically, what did the special representative of the UN told us, of the Secretary General? She saw that as a problem in the leadership group. And I know some of the guys that was with us said, they're not so sure about that. The UN says it's the leadership of the South African Defence Force. As long as we close our eyes for these obvious things, and even if it's perceptions, as long as we close for that, we will not move forward. Now, if I can just, and Chairperson, how much time do you have? Because I want to limit myself as well. Because I don't want to, as I say, overstay my welcome. Because I must mention a couple of things, but I am incredibly concerned. Okay, I'll finish just now. I am incredibly concerned, and it's really carrying the responsibility of South Africa in the interest of South Africa. But the way that we have, it was well presented, but the content must give you sleepless nights. Because I can tell you, since we came back from the DRC, it was a couple of times that I woke up in the night and I was thinking about these things. So it's giving us sleepless nights. And remember, it's not about who's in government. It's not about us that is opposition and looking for cheap politics. It's about really the interests of South Africa. A couple of things that I have not seen. Reprioritization. You remember we have requested that? We have not received that. We have said, make us a summary of the assets of the Defence Force, either fixed or movable assets, to see and tell us which of those assets are non-negotiable required for the Defence Force. And that includes Gripen aircraft that you have again mentioned about mothballing. And we know that we don't need them. So certainly some of that can be sold off. We have not seen that. Implementation of the Defence Review Milestone 1. The review of that, it's a fantastic document. But we have never seen to say that, listen, like you have now said, we cannot meet those. So do we have to adjust that to make it more realistic for our current challenges, circumstances, and abilities? No. You stick to that. So that's kind of a following a path where you say that at the end of the tunnel there's a light coming. You say, hey, it's the end of the tunnel. I can assure you it's not the end of the tunnel. It's a train coming on. And you're closing your eyes for that. So, we have seen, the one thing that is very important to us is, for instance, the coastal protection of our coastal lines. And we've just now seen the letter from the President that 127 million has been allocated to Operation Ops Copper. We must see the effect of that on the reduced budget. Because the moment that you are spending something that is either not reduced or increased from the previous time, then it has got a multiplying effect on the rest. And you have to analyze that and break it down so that we can see what is happening. The whole situation while I'm on that, the dockyard, and Arms Corps will know that they, as the minister has reported, it has been stopped with the no. Where are we with the progress in that regard? We know the importance of the vessels that is supposed to be built, especially for our patrol of our sea borders, our maritime borders. You know what the initial target was on that, when that will be finished and when they will be started in this financial year? We haven't heard anything, and our guesstimate is nothing has happened. Well, not nothing has happened, but nothing has happened in terms of handing over the dockyard and starting with construction. Quite correct, Mr. Wakefield? Yeah, I'm just saying that. We've been now in the DRC. Some of the things that we've identified is, for instance, transport and support services, logistics, turnaround times. Because what do we use? We use one C-130. And even as the guys in DRC have said to us, it's so unreliable that more than often when the aircraft arrives there, there's technical problems and then there's delays coming back. If we need to reprioritize, for instance, and what we, I think we all support, is our involvement in the DRC. But if we don't back that up with specific support, and all of us that were in the DRC said that refund of the UN must be optimized, and it must be firstly used for our support, our troops in the DRC. Because if you do that, it increases the evaluation. We've been told that 80% of the UN refund is as a result of the effectiveness of the helicopter squadron. So in other words, only 20% comes from the rest. And we have seen the number of hours that that helicopters has flown compared to what the UN allocated to them. In February, it was something like an average of 34%. And that represents 80% of the refund. Now, any person in his right mind will say, where can our cash come from? And what can be our cash cow? That can be a major cash cow. But now it seems like we are killing that cash cow, and we want to use the bit of money that we get from that to fund the implementation of Milestone 1. That sounds incredibly illogical to me. Doesn't sound logical as from a business perspective. And please, sir, you must address these things with us. The whole thing about the exit mechanism. How much will an exit mechanism cost if we need to do that on the HR? We still don't know. I am absolutely convinced that if we go to the Minister of Finance, Mr. Ntlantla Nene, and tell him that we need X billion rand as a once-off for exit mechanism to at least, because that will also have a multiplier positive effect. It seems like there is not a political will, and neither from inside of the Department of Defense. And I've picked up number of times small things, and it tells you that non-verbal communication say, hands off our staff. Don't touch our staff. That's my buddies. If we are going onto that route, all of you will have problems in the future, because none of you might have a job, because the taps were run dry. That letter that was sent in terms of the refund from National Treasury, can we get a copy of that letter, please? I think we are entitled to that. I want to ask a question with regards to health services. It's quite evident that it is a fantastic service that is a nice to be. Must we really retain health hospitals? And it's costing us so much money within this budget. Is it not an alternative to hand over that? If I look at Tumil Hospital, a brilliant hospital, but totally underutilized. But then you find the Department of Health must invest into new hospitals, whilst there's a fantastic facility available. Obviously, there can be preferential access and services to our military staff and military veterans. Have you considered that? And what will the financial implications be of that? You've mentioned about 2019 elections, preparing and possible involvement there. What are you talking about? You know, words is one thing. Give us some food for thought. What is our current capacity? I remember when there was a call for the Defence Force to come and, you know, on the Cape Flats. I was one of the things that said to my own Premier, you're out of line. This is not the job of the Defence Force. We do not have currently the capacity to do that. I know that they will do that if they got instructed, but we do not have the capacity, and that's not a priority. What is our capacity? What are your plans that you've put in place? And if some of these are classified, sir, we have talked about that in the past, where often it was said, you know, I can do that in a closed session. Then tell us you want to have a closed session and tell us that. But don't keep the information away from us and then justify that by saying it's classified and it can only be done in a closed session. Then you tell us, because you haven't given us all the information. The defense funding model. You've mentioned that in the challenges, but you'll have to give us some more information in regards to timelines. When will you share that with us? What is the practical implications of that? Chairperson, as you've requested me, I can go on for another hour, because I've made notes in this document and I haven't even touched on that. But I'll be here for the moment. Stand down.
Hold it, just that's fine. Let's hear comments from other members. Any comments or hears? The Honourable Member has commented for all. Honourable Skosana?
No, thanks, Honourable Chair. I think we welcome the presentation from the department. Indeed, I think the picture it's not nice. I think it's not painting a nice picture, especially when coming to issues of finance. I think we're all aware that almost all departments and entities, I think, they are facing more or less the same challenge in terms of cutting of budgets because of the fiscal challenge that the National Treasury is having. But I think the picture that has been painted here, I think it's not a nice picture. I think serious intervention, Honorable Chair, I think would be needed. Because I think when we're dealing with issues of defense, we are dealing with a very critical department. And if we've got these challenges that we are having and the adverse impact of these challenges, as it has been mentioned, I think it means that we are not safe, I think, as the country. So I think serious intervention, I think, would be needed, I think, from our part. I think we need to see what we can do from our part to make sure that we assist. I just want to check on the issue of the compensation of employees. As you have indicated that it's projected to be at 57.1%, which is above the defense review guidance of 40%. I just want to check in the previous years, were you within the 40% in the previous years? If this year we are going to be at 57.1%, the question I'm saying is, in the previous, the last year and the other previous year, were you within that a particular 40%? And I think it's quite scary, I think, on the employment, on the compensation of employees. I think if there's an indication that if nothing happens, you might have to reduce your staff with 5,964. I think it's quite scary, I think, and I think when you speak about issues of employment, I think all of us, I think we become concerned to say people are going to lose jobs and stuff like that. So I'm just checking, because if it's something that has been accumulating from the previous year, maybe we're not paying particular attention to it, to an extent that this year, because of the reduction of the budget, it helped them to escalate to 57%. I think that's where I want us to, if I can just get the clarity there, so that we can see where did the problem started. Is it because of this reduction, or it's something that has been accumulating for the previous years? Well, my last question, Honorable Chair, is this issue of, I think, under the under the 9-point economic plan, the issue of the project Kovatlala, I think it sounds like a very good project in my view, that it can assist our rural community, and as it has been indicated that the Department of Defense, working together with the Department of, with other departments and provincial governments, and also working with farmers, I think, in rural areas. I just want to know as to how far is this project, is it bearing any positive fruits in rural areas, in which areas, if you can maybe give us a light where it is taking place. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kasana. Honorable Sal, will follow Honorable Bida.
Thank you very much, Shem. I think given the backdrop, Chair, it is of course a very dismal and dark one, where the budgetary constraints has a huge impact, and it's summarized clearly, and I want to thank the SECDEF for being very frank on page 46 and 47, and also when we deal with the other pages of 459 and 60 on the risk, which paints the picture exactly what are the implications of these budgetary constraints and reductions, and every single program is impacted on. So I think the first issue that one has to deal with is issue of political will, and that is from the minister's office itself, the ministry, and of course itself the leadership and management of the DoD itself. And I think if one looks at the MPAT results, and of course we are not happy with that. It is one of the departments that was used as a measure for all other departments historically, and today it has deteriorated, and I think we need to address that very urgently. So MPAT and the FOSAT objectives that are set clearly speak to the issue of sound governance, proper HR management, financial management, accountability and governance, and of course strategic leadership. So I think the FOSAT and the MPAT, if we look at the two together, we expect an organization that's highly effective, highly efficient, and one has to look at all the possible austerity measures that one has to do across the entire organization and cut wherever possible. Try and save as much money and stop wastage. And there's a number of instances where we have reduction in all programs, yet in certain sub-programs we find huge increases, even in travel and subsistence, which is unacceptable. One should try and cut those particular issues in delegations that are going away, that they are minimized. So all those savings add up eventually to millions, if not more than billion, that we can actually save. The MEMS is definitely an issue where we have to have political will, because if you get senior people out of the organization, it means they come at a higher cost. Those juniors that come in, they come at a lower cost. The expense that are incurred is basically to be able to exit them at what cost. So one has to then look at that. How is that? If one has to look at treasury in the interim over the next 5 years, what are the cost implications that will arise because of contingency, you have to pay out people. And on the other hand, when you re-employ people, it will be at a lower cost. And eventually the cost will be paid off if one does not increase it. and try to exit and only get people in to cover those other positions at the lower end. I think those exercises need to be done. We haven't seen any model that was put together if the exit mechanism should be applied and how it should be applied. Those options and things I think we need to look at seriously. Of course, we've seen the defense review, which is the framework and NDP that guides this department as well as the rest of the country and all departments, is that that has now been changed to a DR 2018 with five packages. And I think either we discuss it now or at a later stage at the next meeting with Arms Corps, exactly what is Arms Corps' involvement in those packages and to make it actually work. At this moment, it is again undermined because of lack of money. So it speaks automatically to the issue of alternate funding. How are we going to address alternate funding? And I think we have to be realistic. Can we change the hospitals into also semi-private and also state hospital where you can make more money and get other people in as well and using facilities which are excellent and create money? The other one is, of course, we're looking at IP and more to Arms Corps. How can IP be utilized, that wealth of knowledge and intellectual property that we have, and to put to good use and to actually create opportunities and create wealth because of what was done historically? So we have a lot of IP that we're sitting with. How is that really going to be used? We haven't seen that really rolling out and being an opening championing really that cause to get it out there and get those initiatives underway so that we can generate alternate funding. The issue as well of the international, the continental piece that we assist with on the continent, creating stability and security in all our countries that we are involved in, with the Sudan, with the DRC and other countries before, we have not used to our economic advantage. And I'm saying, why not? Why are we hesitating? Why are we delaying? It can be put to good use besides just training people and sending in forces to secure the country and help them. I think we should look at other avenues as well to develop those bilaterals and multilaterals so that we can exploit the situation to the benefit and national interests of South Africa as well. Coming specifically to our program, of course, I've got 40 questions. So I don't know if I'm going to put 40 questions on or check, but I will just say that, for instance, advertising, I will just go very quickly some of them. Advertising increases by 129%. Why? Communications, we're looking at also, increases from 46 million to 166 million. Advertising from 4 million to 76 million. Why? MSDS, we've seen those numbers come down because of the rejuvenation and the issue of the MEMS. The sea hours have been spoken to, fly hours have been spoken to. Because of the cut in the budget, what is the impact, of course, on all these things? And we know that we are losing professional people, pilots and so, because the currency of the certificates will become obsolete if they do not fly the hours required every single year. And the targets that we set, you cannot realize it. You cannot reach those targets. We've increased the targets up to 25,000 flying hours and, of course, sea hours to 12,000. Is that justifiable? How is that motivated if we have a budget that is cut? I see there's an increase in the fuel, oil, and gas. Will that be used for that purpose, or will it be for certain only VIP flights? So if it is for the flying of the soldiers and they get that opportunity to actually exercise, then we just need to get some guidance. Otherwise, the targets are not realistic. Litigation has always been a problem. We try to minimize litigation. And I think the Military Discipline Bill is one of them. We complained about soldiers that are making cases against the department. And that bill had to be passed as soon as possible so that we can eliminate those litigation issues. And the matter is resolved through a military court within the Department of Defense, and the person does not resort to a court and sue the department. So I think those are urgent matters that we could have done. This military bill has been on the radar for very long now, a number of years, and we have not finalized it. The issue also of the military strategy, we're looking at military strategy, and that, of course, goes in line with your defense review, and I don't know what stage we've reached because of the compromises that have been made. The issue of the renewal is mentioned also in the presentation, which is your HR renewal, organizational renewal, and it also speaks again, how do we deal with the MEMS? We can make all renewal if we do not exit the people that are required to go out and to rejuvenate it and get new people in. The restructuring processes will also be a futile exercise. We will still be spending amount of money and not reducing the force to rejuvenate the force. So I think the HR strategy must address all those issues, but if there's no political, we will not achieve it. So the issue of the HR organizational reorganization is that the restructuring. The fraud and corruption is at 25%. I think any fraud and corruption at 25% and even less is unacceptable. We must try and deal with the issues timelessly because it's money that is lost to the institution. And we need to prosecute people. We need to get rid of those people within the departments so that we can save money for the department. So fraud and corruption, zero tolerance, get rid of people. The other one is the public opinion and the armed forces. Do we achieve really the support from the public? And how is that measured? The issue of defense attaches, we've seen the reduction also in the foreign relations sub-program, and does it impact on that particular? And do we get, of course, the value for money for having 44 defense attaches? Do we really get money for value? And how is that assessed? And if we can have an idea of what is actually achieved through defense attaches. The military courts, we're standing at 40% of cases prosecuted. Again, are the cases so complicated that we cannot increase that number to 70%, 80%? So we'd like to know an idea of exactly what is the nature of the cases and why it's only performing at 40%. And we already have the military courts in place. We're supposed to have judges in place. We're supposed to deal with cases. If it's in countries where where peace missions are, the military judge will go to those countries and execute it right there. And the person doesn't, at the cost of the department, fly to and fro. That is the soldiers that are involved. We find also the food and food supplies have increased. Why? 307 million to 357 million. And we see the forces reducing. So if the forces reducing, are people eating more? Or who is actually the food going to? Or is the CPI gone up so the inflation that it's so much more expensive? The cyber warfare, I think you mentioned a number of things there. I think, Honorable Chair, that is critical. We don't see the support for that. And it may have a huge impact on this organization, and particularly our defense. So I've got a serious worry that cyber warfare is not properly funded, and we're not getting the center up, and we're not getting the strategy out. I think it's a serious worry for me. The issue of the medicine stock is still classified, but we see there's an increase, and I don't know if it should be classified. I don't know why it should be classified, if that can be explained, because in the past we had, for a number of years I've been in this portfolio, we've received that information and it now, just recently, it's been classified. Contractors, we've seen the consultants, but I see contractors have increased from 123 million to 267 million. The fleet sales services, fuel, oil and gas, significant increases. And as I asked earlier, we just need some guidance on that. There will also be a number of South African, that is a new one, number of South African Army unique force training exercises. There will be two conducted in this financial year. Can we have some detail around that? What does it actually involve? The Project Wolf Eister, of course, is a key issue, also for rejuvenation within the armed forces and particular land with forces. What is the position and how many vehicles will actually be acquired during this financial year, and what is the plan going ahead with the Wolf Eister project? The other one, sir, is of course the we're looking also at the transport and maritime. I think that was addressed earlier. I'm just going to continue quickly. Of course, we're looking at the Durban Naval Base because there's a reduction in the maintenance budget, the base maintenance. So this is being on also now to develop that base, and also the dockyard needs to be upgraded at the huge cost. We also have the other one which we visited personally. It's a silver mine naval base. Well, it's in a mess, and the radar systems are all down. In fact, the last one was also stolen, the cables. So everything is actually down at the silver mine naval base, which is critical for our fleet. So what is actually happening there, and why has an immediate intervention, and people are sitting with vehicles that are all stocked up in Pretoria, it's not being used for patrol, and they require 4x4 vehicle to monitor, of course, the stations at Silver Mine. So I don't know why, and the dog patrol was only there for the day when we visited, and then they disappeared. The issue of the travel assistance, I finished, military health maintenance, the military health maintenance has also gone down by 38.5%. We have not completed the refurbishment of the hospitals. I know the money has been allocated for 2 mil. 1 mil is still in a mess. And I see that Defense Works Formation is going to deal now with the first floor, but from our visits, that were 3 visits that we performed, that we actually conducted there, And of course, we didn't get any clarity on exactly when. Although they did indicate they want to complete this year, I don't think that will be done. The reports are not coming in, and we don't see the performance on that side. The number of military health activities are also decreasing compared to 2016-17, and we've got a number of military vets now that have been signed up. Additional 17,000 is now online to access facilities. So if we're decreasing it, are we going to then accommodate the military veterans that are now added onto the soldiers list? The other one is intelligence. I see there's a huge increase, maybe just some explanation of what department agencies and account, and of course we're looking at $444 million increasing to $505 million. The other one is, of course, in that Department of Defense and Intelligence, travel and subsistence, I don't think we can classify that also because it's intelligence. I'd like to know why it increases from 3.9 million to 9 million. A huge increase, but it's under intelligence, so do we classify that also? We'd like to know exactly what it's been used for. The general support, we find also there that property payments, we look historically, we look at the what was paid before, 305 million came to 60.8 million. Why is there such a huge difference in the property payments? Have the leases changed? The properties changed? Has government in DOD using its own properties? And likewise, we also have a decrease in crime prevention, which I'm happy about, but I see the performance was 189 in 2016-17, and for this financial year, looking at 124 crime prevention ops. And we see the problems still within the country. We see the protests in the country. We see all those other issues in the country, and I'm saying, is that actually what is envisaged, that it will cover only 124, given it's also election coming up, and we expect delivery protests and other things to happen? And we know the gangsterism and the drugs and the terror fighting, and that has also gone out of proportion, particularly in the Western Cape. I think, Honorable Chair, for now, that is what I'll offer. Thank you very much.
Very much, Honorable Mpinga.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think a lot has been covered, but mine is only the issue of what is the explanation of the treasurer, more especially for this cutting and cutting and cutting? Is it because they feel that you do not have, you know, proper or effective internal controls, or is it just that, or is it because maybe they do not understand the work that you do as the Department of Defense? I mean, those are just my questions, because I don't understand each and every year up until 2021, and you look at the huge amounts, you know, that they are cutting as if now they are fed up or whatever. And again, the issue of consultants, you know, I am not a defense person, but in your opinion, don't you think really that we are spending too much, because that could be one of the reasons that maybe you keep on, you know, inflating these costs or increasing them instead of making sure that at least you decrease them. So those are the questions. Otherwise, I don't want to go to each and every item, just like my other honorable members, but at least they have covered a lot. But for me, those are just more those two questions that I would like to ask for now.
Thank you, honorable members. If there is no any other thing, honorable Mtlongo.
No, there is a person. Now, Jefferson, I must say, I just went out to take a puff because this report is dead. I must be very honest with you. To say it's a bleak gives a bleak picture. It's a far less kind of a statement, of an understatement. It tells you that a dead child has been brought before this committee of parliament. Now, if you have got such a big public representatives carrying the mandate of South African people. If we were to just treat this report as a passing by thing, we will be committing a serious crime to the people of this country. No wonder that we have a call chairperson that in Parliament we raised a serious question. How could the head of state be boarded on a chartered airliner belonging to a wanted criminal by the Interpol, costing over R1 billion? When we have got an in-house official airline, which when I talk to engineers up there, they are saying, no, Colorado, we are just lying idle, we are paid for nothing, because everything is just outsourced. Because some people are using defense force, our defense force, as a cash cow for money, for quick money making. That's why, Jefferson, you have got, you know, when you come to the last pages of this, what is it, planning and strategic consultants, everything, which means even the tissue is run by the consultants in this department. And you wonder, what is that? What is the use of having an HR when you have got even consultants that are need to do consultancy work for who is sick, having incapacity? According to this report here, it tells you that, you know, it's like the clothes of Jesus Christ that were just thrown out and just given to everyone when he was crucified. And finally, you have got no army, you have got no defense force. Because everything is just flown out to the air. Now, Jefferson, I think we will be doing justice if through you, we call an urgent meeting with all the heads of the sections of defense to prepare a comprehensive plan for each of these divisions in the absence of the strategic review process. What to be done? You will note that we have written to you, Jefferson, complaining about dysfunctionality of the internal audit in this department. Because that is done for a particular purpose, to open floodgate so that this cash cow is going to be sucked out money without any of these oversight monitoring organs being actively involved. Let us actually call this each of these heads of this of service have got an obligation to the people of this country to say, with the current budget, how are they going to run the National Defense Force to its maximum? How are they going to run, putting aside all these things? Because if you take out all this useless money that is spent on consultancy, huge amount of saving is going to be done here. You don't need a consultant to tell you who is now ill, having incapacity to perform work. It's just a pure, simple HR work, that's it. Why do you have HR? A person who's paid thousands of rands per month to do what? Just to come in the office and just relax and just outsource that function to an outsider who pays the state millions of rands for nothing. What have they done with their planning, so-called strategic planning? Aren't the heads of sections supposed to come up with the plans to say, in line with their strategic constitutional obligation, to say, this is where we want to take this particular section to? This is what we want. Why then outsourcing the responsibility of this? Or we plan that runs in order to appease political local patrol or dispense political patronage, employing, bringing to the employing non-qualified people who don't know what to be done. Let us call this meeting, Jefferson, and they then get even the state treasury to begin to advise us on these things so that we can be able to actually say we can run. Otherwise, Jefferson, if you don't do that, we are going to allow the department to commit murder by sacrificing our helpless people, by laying off men and women who are not party to this mess that has been done by their seniors, and those seniors will be saved because they are the ones to take decision who must be laid off, keeping their own jobs at bay. Adding to the already volatile situation of joblessness in the country, it has caused this, and even the Chief of Defense, General Shobe, is accountable to this parliament. Under these circumstances, it tells us that just for us to rely on the Secretary of Defense report, we will be fooling ourselves. It will mean that we are just not actually taking critical steps that need to be embarked upon in order to remedy this particular department. I know for a fact that that woman who has been causing havoc in that audit division has been sacked. I know that decision has been taken. But we still wait for that letter confirming that, because we want to get veracity of that thing to say how far has it gone in creating havoc in terms of rooted corruption within the DOD itself as a whole. Let us get this meeting, Mr. President, as soon as we can, and all these heads must present plans, which plans will have to be adopted by Parliament. Then moving forward, we will then see how we can then get to the strategic review processes, because as members of Parliament, it is useless to ask questions when we are not guided by any strategic review mechanism to say this is what must be achieved, how should be achieved, and these are the cost-saving measures that will be taken into place. People are just crying for more money, as Honorable Marais is saying, because they think that Department of Defense is their own luxury. More money, no service output. This is our defense. It cannot just be sacrificed on an altar plate like that. These heads of divisions must be called here before Parliament. After all, they are there to defend the constitution of this country. If you go to KZN, Mozambican criminals are causing havoc along the border of Upongon. Police are stretched to nothing. No area support from Defense Force. Because Defense Force is busy with Maria Vale fighting against the judgment by the court, of which Defense Force must be upholder of the constitution of the country and defenders of the constitution. But allowing those renegade soldiers from Northwest to evict people there, for what reason? What kind of a Defense Force is that? Oh, we have got mercenaries in our Defense Force now. They can go against even the decisions of the High Court. Chairperson, let's call this meeting maybe in 2 weeks' time. Let these chiefs present to us a report. We cannot take this thing to Parliament. It's dead. We will be misleading Parliament. Even the minister may be at times will have to account on this thing. Because our Defense Force must execute a far more reaching mandate, not only in our country, but in our SADC and in our continent. With this dead horse thing, we cannot achieve that mandate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think our time for questioning is over. The comments I take it you are noting the comments. Some of the questions we will not answer them now, because I take it that your annual performance plan is an action plan. You can answer them after taking the action. We'll see, as we say, that we'll put every action on our dashboard too, and to get feedback quarterly from yourselves on issues that honorable members have raised, either for improvement or action, and then in also on your key performance indicators as you put them here. So that is how we are going to oversight this annual performance plan. I'm going to stop you at 1 o'clock, and we are using my watch. It says 12:32. If there are any comments you want to make and questions that you want to clarify, please do that. But others are comments, you just make notes for yourself so that you must improve your... thank you very much, Sagdev.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Maybe as a general comment, following the intervention by Honorable Mhlongo, is to indicate that it is probably not accurate to say that the report is dead. It says nothing, because we have, Honorable Mhlongo, the full book here that we presented to Parliament. We also have a CD of it, where we state clearly the plans of the department. Program by program, as we have indicated, 8 programs. And if we say we would have liked to hear it from the chief of each and every program, they will come and reinforce what is in this book here, as I have been trying to reinforce what it is in this book. And the idea was not to read the whole book and present each and every one by program, as it were, but it was to give the highlight to the focus because of the nature of our interaction. So that's why it makes it possible for the members of the Portfolio Committee to provide the necessary oversight in terms of what the Department of Defense is doing by going through this annual performance plan for the 2018 that we have tabled in Parliament. And then we can engage to say this specific program, we don't agree here, we don't agree there, maybe we need some more information on this one or that. But all the information is in there, and I've tried to present it over my presentation. Even if that presentation might have taken an hour, it's difficult to go through each and every one of the programs that are highlighted there. I think in terms of calling in the chief of services and divisions to come and present, they will be going through the same exercises that we have tried to do this this morning. That was just about in terms of our general comments. Now, going through the issues that have been raised, I think, Chairperson, as you have indicated, time might not allow to respond to all of them. We would attempt to do that, and also to maybe make some comment on the comments that have also been made, and I'll ask the team that is with me here to make note of other details that I will be asking them to respond to. I can understand the frustration coming from the members in terms of the budget reductions, and to highlight that as a department, we are just as much as frustrated by this budget reduction as members are, and we will appeal to the members to assist us to be able to fulfill our mandate, because it is true that we might not, as a Department of Defense and the South African National Defense Force, be able to fulfill our constitutional mandate with the budget reductions that have been imposed on us. Just quickly, in terms of those budget reductions, what's the response from the National Treasurer? I think many of us in the department are aware of the constraints that has been put on the national fiscal. And the National Treasury has indicated that these reductions are due to the limited economic growth of the country. And they have been, when we engage, I think, at least as officials, been highlighting that if the economy of the country was to turn around, then hopefully these budget reductions can still be reversed and be adjusted in according to the economic development. But as situation is now, the projections are not for economic turnaround, at least not for this financial year, and hardly for the medium-term strategic framework period, but hopefully in the outer MTSF, we should keep hoping that there might be a turnaround on the budget to enable those necessary adjustments. Yes, we are facing that issue to say, now that we have the budget reduction, what is it that we are going to be able to do? What is it that we are not going to be able to do? I am happy that the members of the portfolio committee have now appreciated the impact that this is going to have on the Department of Defense, so that the risks, I think, have been properly highlighted. We shouldn't be facing a situation whereby maybe a year or two or three down, I think as Honorable Marais was indicating, when we talk about now, when are you going to close the door, where are you going to leave the keys, or when we have major impact within the Department of Defense, it will be said that the Defense never informed Parliament about the risks that they were facing. The Defense never informed Parliament about the impact of this reduction. So we have to make it clear to the members, and I'm glad that at least the members have appreciated the impact of this budget reduction. And the other reasons besides the limited economic growth, shall we say, other reasons that the National Treasury has indicated are the demands on the fiscals by other national interests. We cannot ignore it. Whether these are for health, whether these are for housing, whether these are for education, particularly for education, because we had allocation we received in November, and in January, the National Treasury, actually coming from the President of the country, called all the departments back and said, we are now implementing further reduction so that we can have money, so that we can have funds allocated to the free higher education. And the figures were given to say free higher education is going to cost the government so much, and because of that, we are coming back to reduce your budget further by so much, department by department. And needless to say that the Department of Defense was one of those that were majorly, mostly affected. Sometimes you might be able to raise a question to say, is it because of the limited appreciation of the importance of security in the country or the importance of the role of the Department of Defense? I don't think it would be fair for us as officials to be speaking to that, because that is really the national question. It's really the issue of the lawmakers. You, as you are, honorable members, lawmakers, that determine then the national interest, national priorities, and budget allocation. That's why we are here. We are only presenting what is presented to us. Then, Honorable Mare, you also, and also it has been raised, I think Honorable Isawi emphasized it, the issue of a rejuvenation plan, the HR rejuvenation plan. There is no doubt that this rejuvenation plan needs to be updated so that it meets the resources that have been allocated. And we have emphasized to the HR, and that rejuvenation plan is being developed. The only frustration, maybe the only delays that we are facing now, is that because of the further reduction, this HR rejuvenation plan needs to be properly costed. How is it going to be managed? And we will have to present, Honorable Marek, this rejuvenation plan to the National Treasury. We are working with them, and they have indicated to us that this rejuvenation plan, first of all, has to be agreed upon by National Treasury, agreed upon by Department of Public Service and Administration, and then as well as our Department of Defense, before we can present it to Cabinet, as it were, for approval. But it is a rejuvenation plan that has got its own cost. It has been costed by us. We have even costed it in terms of how much, for instance. I mean, I'm just making an example now because the exact figures, they are still in the process of being finalized. At one stage, we were saying over the MTSF, if we can raise 5 billion, then we can be able to implement this rejuvenation where the elderly older soldiers who are no longer deployable, because for a soldier to be deployable to the border safeguarding and to the peacekeeping operations, at least you'll have to be at that age, as Honorable Mare was indicating, mid-20s, mid-30s. By the time you are 45, you are really not deployable, as it were. So that is the reskilling as well and the reassignment or the military exit mechanism. We cannot do it by ourselves as a department. For that to be done, adopted, and approved, it needs other departments, especially Public Service Administration, as well as the Department of Finance. I think, Honorable Mare, you did comment on the issue of authority over the South African National Defense Force in terms of civil oversight of how effective is it. I would say that the military-civil relations and the management of it is effective within the Department of Defense. What the challenge we have is the issue of breakdown of discipline within the South African National Defense Force. I think that has been obvious. The chief of the South African National Defense Force, General Shoaib, has spoken about this issue over and over and over again about the breakdown of discipline in the South African National Defense Force, and has been emphasizing that's going to be important, that military disciplinary bill is processed is expedited to be processed within Parliament without any further delay, so that the generals, I mean he and the command structures of the South African National Defense Force are enabled to maintain discipline within the South African National Defense Force. And that he is also speaking, Honorable Mare, to the issue of the SEER cases, that is the sexual exploitation and abuse cases. Yes, I agree with you that I also believe that sometimes it is overstated, and that but discipline is still a critical component element if that activity or that misbehavior, if one might call that, within the South African National Defense Force is to be controlled. We are working on the reprioritization. I think we have had we are not able right now to say here is the list of essential assets in the Department of Defense, here is a list of non-essentials at the Department of Defense, and here is a list that might be available for disposal. But for that information, I agree, Honorable Chairperson, certain information will have to be managed within closed session of this body. Because we really wouldn't like the enemies of our democracy, who are even though you say they are outside out there, and also using internal elements to know exactly, as the South African National Defense Force, here is our capability, here is essential, here is non-essential. And that is why also some of this information gets classified, because of matters of security, for security reasons, so that it does not affect our military operations. I know that sometimes when you talk about threats of extremists and terrorism, we might be called to be exaggerating, but if you, as you were in the DRC, I'm sure you've got full reports about the elements that are showing up now in the eastern parts of the DRC that have got those tendencies of extremism and terrorism, who are actually very eager to attack the South African National Defense Force troops who are deployed there, and it would not be wise to be telling them about certain strengths or highlighting certain weaknesses. So that will might not be for public consumption, but we'll be happy here to give that information in a closed session. I think when you talk about the current deployment of Operation COPPA, it was stated in the presidential minute that we have prepared in terms of how what is the costing, and the breakdowns have been stated there. But maybe in writing we can reiterate that in terms of how that 127 million that was mentioned is to be broken down for the Operation COPPA. Now, on the strategic review, when we talk about the Defense Review 2015, when we were developing the Defense Review, Honorable Chairperson, we did say that for a Defense Review, it's not a static document. We can't say in 2015 we stated this and then it's going to be like that, maybe even if we were having it as a three MTF program, otherwise over 10 or 15 years. A defense review, in our mind, is something that has to be reviewed every 5 years at least. And if it was a 2015 defense review, it means then we should be now preparing, talking about the 2020 defense review. And I've no doubt in my mind that when you come up with a 2020 defense review, you will have to address the issue of the available resources. That now that we know that we are having limited resources allocated to the defense of our country, what is our ambition, if I may use that term, or what is our projection, what kind of a defense force do we want? And South Africans as a whole will have to address that issue. What kind of a defense force do they want to face the current threats of security that come from time to time? I think Honorable Mthongo has spoken very passionately about the porous borders that we have. Honorable Mthongo, we have indicated that for us to have efficient safeguarding of our border, we need 22 companies. But up to now, we have only deployed 15 companies because of the limited resources. So unfortunately, when you translate this, what it means on the ground, it does mean that our borders will be not as effectively and not as efficiently defended because of the limited resources, because instead of deploying 22 required companies, we have only deployed 15 companies. And this will remain the plan for the coming financial year, and for this, as it has been reflected in this annual performance plan that we have presented. On the status of the dockyard, Honorable Mare, refurbishment, I think AMSCO has indicated, because remember, we have transferred the dockyard to AMSCO, and then there were plans towards that were approved by the Council on Defense in terms of that dockyard to be operated and managed by Denel, which has not been as been able to progress to its logical conclusion, and changes now have to be made, and AMSCO will be talking to that, and I'm sure the minister will talk to it during her budget vote next week, Friday. And the serviceability of our equipment in the DRC has always been a challenge, because of some of the equipment, whether it is C-130 helicopters and the Royal Falcon and others, are not, and as well as the armed personnel carrier, sometimes not as serviceable because of various challenges that are facing the resources. It's not only facing the Army, but also facing the Air Force, as well as the Navy sometimes, as we would hear the reports of foreign ships fishing on our coastal waters and Navy having limited resources to protect our coastal lines and our exclusive economic zones from illegal fishing in that environment because of limited resources. We have listened to proposals about the outsourcing of military health services, although it is really not going to be advisable, again for security reasons. I think when our soldiers are not feeling well, when they're at their most vulnerable and they're sick and injured, I would like to see them being taken care of in a secured environment of South African military health services, rather than to expose them to other environments. So the outsourcing of South African military health services is something that I think we might like to continue debating going into the future with them. There are different schools of thought. We have seen that nationally. We have seen them internationally. When we engaged with our counterparts from different parts of the continent where they do not have such strong military health services, they even highlight that when their soldiers are injured or sick, they would rather have them treated in our military health facilities rather than to be treated in their own community hospitals, mainly because of the security reasons. So that's the debate that we would like to continue engaging. I do not think it's advisable for the South African National Defense Force to outsource its military health services, even as a doctor now, Honorable Chairperson. When we talk about our involvement in the elections, Honorable Maria, it's not, I don't think it's going to be different from the last elections. South African National Defense Force has been involved in support of the elections from the days of our democracy in 1994. So it's going to continue to be the same. I think it's mostly the air assets that are required to be able to move sometimes to move the ballots to able to assist the police to secure certain areas. Coming election, the forthcoming elections, I don't see the involvement of the South African National Defense Force being different from the last elections. But the only challenge we have from the accounting standpoint is that we will have to make it visible. It's over the next coming financial year, and we have to make it visible also in terms of preparations for it and budgeting for it. And we always have to make these contingency measures, not knowing exactly what the requirement is. But we don't see it to be different from the other years. As we have indicated, the CFO has a team that is working on the funding model. CFO, I'm going to leave that to you to take it forward. If you have anything to add, if we can make note of that. Now, coming to the issues raised by Honorable Skhosana, and I think the challenge of budget reduction, Honorable Skhosana, you have highlighted it, and I fully agree with you about the seriousness of this. Honorable Skhosana, Chairperson, puts it as a serious picture requiring serious intervention, especially from the security standpoint. So I think I would agree, that's the message I would like to take to the honorable members around the table, that this is a serious picture requiring a serious intervention. I really look forward to your help, honorable members. Without you, I'm nothing. I will not be able to meet the mandate that you have placed on our South African National Defence Force. But in terms of the cost of employees, how did we creep up to 57? General Sichongai, please scratch your brains again and help me. If I'm not mistaken, 2014-2015, we were within 40%, Honorable Skhosana. 2014-2015. And when the next MTSF came in, when the budget reduction started, then we started creeping towards the 50s. So we were at 40s in 2014-15. And last year, for instance, we were at 54. Now this year, the year that ended in March, now we're at 54%. Now this year, I think we're creeping at 57. But it will be interesting, General Sichongai, when you get a chance, please, before 1 o'clock, as Honorable Chairperson has indicated.
Two minutes. One now.
So what we will do, we will definitely, Honorable Chairperson, make note of the questions that we have not been able to answer. And so maybe the team, they will not be able to respond. We will then, please let's put it in writing now, give us an opportunity when we respond in writing to state clearly the whole trend of the creeping of the cost of employees towards 57%. Honorable Isawe, I think... you raised a number of questions. I think your questions, Honorable Isao, were very specific, and we have taken note of them for us to explain the rising cost. Honorable Isao, what you did, you were taking us item by item. Give us a good opportunity then to go and put it down. CFO is here, item by item. So, CFO, what Honorable Isao is asking us to explain is this has creeped up from this percent to that percent so much, and as he has stated down, we will have to put those in writing.
Thank
but
you
when
much.
It comes to the consultants of SOMA, I wanted Honorable Mkhongo to just know that this is not to say that we don't have doctors. Actually, the South African National Defence Force, the good thing about it is that we have most of these state services. We have within the Defence Force, we have Defence Intelligence, we have Military Police, we have also Military Health Services. We can do it by ourselves, but we are required by the Department of Public Service and Administration that before we say an employee is medically unfit to work, we must use the Department of Public Service regulations. We must use their consultants. It's their consultants who have been appointed by the Department of Public Service Administration, so it will be illegal for me to use any other method to tell these employees that they are medically unfit to work. Thank you very much, Chair.
You're speaking as a doctor. Okay. No, honorable members, I think we have come to the end of our meeting. We are going to adjourn. We are coming back again at 2 o'clock in the same room. We are going to get a presentation from AMSCO, and then
So, honorable members may go and have your lunch. No, not Castle. No, Castle, you know, Castle, are they coming? Is it? I talked to the chief of logistics. Maybe there was a misunderstanding yesterday. Yeah, they are on a mission somewhere. They must meet the commander in chief and so on. I'm not sure they are coming. Okay, no, it's fine. We're taking Castle and the Arms Corps. Okay, thank you very much. See you later, honorable members.
How are you, sir?
Hey, my name is
welcome to the
Tomatina. Where are you? Hey.